Time to relax, Rick. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Bonus Hour.
It is just relaxed and heaven to your ears on the bonus hour. Welcome to the Asylum. We're Fleeger and Briggs.
Yeah, give us a follow on Twitter. I beg and plead, and our Twitter numbers just go down. At Asylum Football on Twitter, that is the place to be to see witty repartee from Rick, witty retorts from me. That's not true. I can't even remember the last time I was on Twitter. But by God,
I can't remember the last time you were witty.
But I am nothing if not witty, my friend.
You're nothing.
Fair enough.
Oh, we're pathetic.
We are. I'm exhausted, I got to tell you. Day following opening day for Major League Baseball. Spent a little time at PNC Park. Got some sun. Had a few Chardonnays, if you will. Maybe a few too many. Feeling a little rough. Although I felt like you were... It isn't no wonder you are the way you are all the time.
What, perfect?
No. Grumpy? You know what it
I'm
is?
I'm not grumpy. I'm the happiest guy on earth. I'm in my prime.
Yeah, I recount that story of your poor son before he went on the air asking you the simplest of questions, and you reacting quite with unnecessary furor. I'll put it that unnecessary furor. That's what we'll go with. Let me write that down.
I think you're
actually
ridiculous.
But you know what it is.
But speaking of opening day on baseball, how would you like to be an Angels fan and see the omen that they saw during the ceremonial first pitch?
It sets up bad for the rest of the year, I think.
Okay, if you live in a cave and just hadn't heard this, I mean, even Thursday you haven't heard it by now, then you probably just don't listen to much other than us.
Oh, yeah,
I don't blame
Monday
you there.
Monday was opening day, not yesterday.
Exactly. But anyway, during the ceremonial first pitch, Don Baylor was, going to catch a throw from, a former Angel, Vladimir Guerrero, at Angel Stadium. How in the world do you break your femur catching a baseball?
Just catching the ball. There was no fall? There was no...
Well, it said as Baylor received the throw, his right ankle appeared to get caught awkwardly under the rest of his body. He attempted to take a first step toward the dugout before nearly collapsing at home plate. He was then taken to a hospital. I don't know how you do that.
This is why I don't want to get old, Rick. Things just start breaking. There will come a time on this show where you will sit there and something will just break. Something will snap.
Something already did. Yeah. You just didn't know it. But,
That's very possible. Yeah. But you're just going to hit the floor, and then I'm going to that awkward moment. Do I go on with the show? Do I get help?
Oh, the show goes first,
so
obviously.
Just leave you lay
plow
there?
Plow through.
All right, Maybe we need to get some sort of alert system that I can alert your family, with two rules. I hit the thing, they come down and get you out of here, but they have to be quiet while they do it, because we're on the air.
I'll turn
your mic off, but I don't need them over there clanging and banging around. And
yeah. Hey, maybe we can train Hazel to go upstairs and bring him back,
We could do that. I doubt she could do it, but we could try.
She probably wouldn't anyway.
Well, yeah, let him die, I think would be her stance, if I had to guess. So, well, Rick, why don't we, by doing, as you all know, at least you all better know, on the Tuesday show, we're doing the Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. March Madness got through to the Sweet 16 this last week on Tuesday. Week, I guess,
a couple days ago with Andy Miley.
But we didn't get much of a chance to talk about the football headlines. So let's go ahead and do it here. We'll do our duty as the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show and go ahead and hit a few headlines before the hijinks ensue here on what the bonus hour really should be.
Yeah, one of the weirdest moves, I think. I mean, look, you were high on him 2 or 3 years ago. He's got talent, but he has no head on his shoulders. The Rams signed Kenny Britt to a 1-year deal. It's like $1.4 million, something like that. Nothing expensive. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't really mean anything.
It's worth the risk to me. When this guy's going good, and he's got it going, was it 2 seasons ago? For the first 4 or 6 or 8 games, he was the leading fantasy scorer amongst wide receivers.
I think 2 or 3,
When things are going well for this kid, when he isn't in jail, that's his biggest issue. Is his favorite thing to do is get arrested. Yeah, he really loves doing it. And he will go out of his way. He will get drunk and drive to a military base just so he can get arrested. He had no other business there, so give him credit for making the effort. It's what you like to do, and so you should go ahead and do it. This is America. You know what I mean? You can do that. They got him for nothing. They got him for no money. You got Tavon Austin, who started to emerge a little bit at the end of the year. And you got seven guys named Mo out there. If it works out, great. If it doesn't,
Zach Stacy.
Yeah, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, hey, what'd you lose? You know what I mean? I don't think he never seemed to be a distraction in the locker room. He's just not there sometimes because he's in prison, you know. So you look around, where's Kenny? Well, you know, he got arrested again. So why not take the chance? You lack talent at that position. You're trying to get it turned around for Sam Bradford. I like it. I don't know what it means. We're not going to know. And I think if it works out positively, it works out positively in the short term for a few games. It's not going to be any type of long-term solution. But why not? Why
right.
not? That's what I say. Why not? Totally worth the gamble to me.
Yeah, I think a guy like Kenny Britt, if somewhere along the line he experiences an epiphany and grows
right.
and grows
it,
up.
It could happen.
He could be a major, major upgrade to the wide receiver position.
And he's a major, major talent.
Yeah.
He's just got a two-cent head. And
right.
to your point, sometimes, not always, sometimes it clics for these guys. He basically spent a year out of the league last year. He was there, but he might as well have been out of the league.
Right.
Maybe it clicks for him. Maybe he sees this is my last chance. You've got this small contract, a chance to maybe get one more. You know, bail money is expensive. He can't have a ton of cash laying around.
Exactly.
Lawyers are expensive. So maybe it clicks, and if it does, good for him, good for the Rams. It could work out. A ton of talent, just a two-cent head.
Yeah, and considering the Rams are basically in a division that's having an arms race as well as the NFC North, you know, I think it's a gamble well worth taking. Like you said, it didn't cost him anything.
No.
And if he pays off, boy, I tell you what, it can pay off handsomely. And you need weapons in the NFC West. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I mean they're gearing up that division in the NFC North. You know, two divisions really turning around, changing identities. And if you're the Rams, you got to try and keep up with these other teams. And a lot of these big guy name guys aren't available. You take a risk on a guy like Britt, maybe you can keep up with the Joneses, as it were. Rick, DeSean Jackson's reps have started talking contract with the Redskins. DeSean Jackson, a good fit in Washington for you?
Look, he comes with a lot of baggage, a lot of attitude baggage in my mind. You know, there's been all this talk about the gang bang in life and this, that, and the other. And many people have stood up and said, you know, that's just not true. Teachers, you know, cops, everything, that's just not true. And he has put out a statement issuing that is irresponsible, people saying that, and he's only going to work hard and try to help his team. Of course, he says the right thing, and I just question so much. Baggage was there in Washington last year with RG3. He was arguing. Of course, Shanahan's gone. I think maybe that was a lot of the problem right there. I don't know. I mean, I think he will certainly help, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, you have Pierre Garçon and nobody else.
Right.
And he can certainly take the top off of defense. We talked about that last week. So, yeah, I'm not crazy about DeSean Jackson, but a good fit in Washington, I think it is. And plus, I think he's going to like sticking to the Eagles.
Yeah, you get to play them twice a year. That's probably why this is, you know, really the first team he met with and already negotiating with them. Look, this stuff with the gangs, I mean, was there ever any discussion that he was actively involved in any of this now, or was this in his past? I still haven't completely grasped where this all came from. When it comes to that, truthfully, Rick, I don't care. A lot of these guys come from tough neighborhoods, and you think a lot of these guys haven't been affiliated with things like this over the years? Why is this an issue now for DeSean Jackson? I don't understand it. A lot of guys come from these neighborhoods. I'm stuck on that and have probably been at one time in their lives involved in things like this.
Well, to your point, a lot of people do come from that. Now, the big difference maker is if you're still living the life a la Aaron Hernandez, still basically living that same life, only you're making a whole lot of money playing football instead of other things.
Yeah.
If he was and isn't now, who cares? Simple as that.
Yeah. And it's something, I haven't heard anything that he's actively involved in anything like, so I don't care about that. You know, in terms of how does he fit with Washington, I think he fits just about anywhere with the style he plays. It doesn't matter necessarily what offense you run. A guy like DeSean Jackson, look, for all the success he's had, DeSean Jackson's a one-horse pony, or a one-trick pony, one-horse pony. That's brilliant radio there.
I'm telling you.
A one-trick pony, he always has been. He's just done it better than most people have done it. You're going to take the lid off the defense, and you're going to let whoever's playing tight end there, what was the young man's name who emerged last year? Reed, was it? Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
You're going to let him run underneath. You're going to let Pierre Garçon run wild because you're going to draw the safety to that side, and he's going to catch a few of the Robert Griffin has a cannon, so you get it downfield. I think it's a great fit. I don't know what would be a bad fit for a guy of DeSean Jackson's skills, though. You don't have to be a good route runner when it's the draw it up in the sandlot play. You run as far as you can, and I'm going to try and get it to you. That's DeSean Jackson's game. It's what it always has been, what it'll continue to be while he still has that speed. Where doesn't it fit? Find me a team where that doesn't work.
I agree. And, you know, I made the point to you last time we talked about this. I think it only helps Garçon and Reed. He's kind of like Mike Wallace. You see the emergence of Brian Hartline down there.
Right. Wallace was a miserable failure, but everybody around him seemed to benefit.
And let's face it, really, other than last year, DeSean Jackson has never been fantasy huge by any stretch of the imagination.
His rookie year. Remember his rookie year, he put up big numbers. And after that, it became, as PPR formats have emerged, because the guy was good. The guy's good for 80 yards and a touch every week, but he's doing it on two grabs. He's not catching 7-8 balls a game.
Mm-hmm. Macklin was the guy, you know, traditionally, you know, through those years. So, yeah, I don't think he really leaps up anywhere in value, but I think he's a good fit in Washington, and I think overall will help the team.
They get him in there. I got to tell you what, I don't give those Skins a lot of credit. I worry about what they do a lot, and they're always trying to win the off season. And Daniel Snyder treats that Skins team like a fantasy team. I like what they're putting together right now. If you get DeSean Jackson in there, you've got Pierre Garçon, you've got the emergence of Reed, you hope RG3 is healthy and a little happier with Shanahan being gone, you got Alfred Morris, brought in a lot of pieces on the defense. I think the Skins are putting together a legitimate contender to win some football games next year and be a contender in that division.
Yeah, especially in that division.
It's way down right now.
I think the exit of Shanahan will probably do more for the whole team chemistry than anything. Look, RG3, I understand he was coming back from a bad knee injury last year. But if he's going to play, you cannot put the brakes on this guy. You got to let him play his game. And Shanahan tried to rein him in. Now, you don't need to be running this. That's just not him. It's kind of like telling Ben not to extend plays.
Right.
And you have to just let him go. And I think they're going to do that this year, and it's just going to open things wide open.
Right. And you saw the conversation a lot when Mike Vick was running well. You know, when do we rein him in? We've got to extend his career. To your point, we hear that conversation locally on Ben Roethlisberger every time. If he keeps playing this way, it's going to shorten his career. So what?
That's who
these guys are. But do you want 10 years of this guy at who he is the way he plays, or 15 years of this guy reined in and being a mediocre quarterback?
Right.
He ain't a pocket passer. Ben Roethlisberger ain't a pocket passer. Yeah. Mike Vick ain't a pocket passer. This is what these guys do, and they're going to get hurt.
It's like saying Peyton Manning needs to start rolling out more.
Start running around. Yeah, you never hear that argument. Peyton Manning needs to start extending plays and running around. This is who these guys are. Are their careers going to be shorter? Probably, yeah, but this is who they are. This is where their success comes from. This is how they win ball games.
Right.
They're going to get hurt. You know that going in. You have yourself a good backup. Kirk Cousins, perfect example there in Washington, assuming he's still there after draft day.
Nick Foles behind Mike Vick.
You know, Charlie Batch for all those years is very serviceable behind Ben Roethlisberger. This is who they are. Quit trying to rein these guys in. This is how they got where they are. This is why they're successful. This is why Ben Roethlisberger has two Super Bowl crowns, because of his pocket passing ability. And in the 2 years they won them, not because of the running games and those offenses. It was his ability to get around and make plays. Mike Vick, any success he had anywhere he went was based mainly on being able to run for 75 yards right. a game on top of being able to throw the thing. The same thing with RG3. It has got to be as a team, I would think. I'm sure there's guys in those in that locker room that liked Shanahan. It almost has to be just a massive weight lifted off that locker room in that training complex down there in Landover or wherever it's at for the Skins now. Just look, a good X's and O's guys, but just a creep. And I've got to imagine he is just unbearable to play for.
Well, we made the point last year. He had success when he had John Elway.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. Terrell Davis.
A lot of people would, too.
Yeah, exactly. And he's basically, to me, not a good head coach.
No, he hasn't shown it to be.
No.
He really hasn't.
And I think it's a welcome exit out of there.
Without John Elway, he's won nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
I agree 100% on that one.
So let's move around. Rick, anything else big out there? Looking like, what do you think of Darius Hayward Bay visiting our Steelers?
Look, they need wide receiver depth. Why not? I mean, he's been in the league and he's had some success. Of course, he was with Oakland a lot. I don't think he's going to step in and be some big star, but I think... You know, in a pinch, somebody goes down. I think he'd be serviceable. I think he's on the cheap. And why not?
Look, you love all that speed, although he lacks one component I look for in a wide receiver, and that is an ability to catch a football. He seems to have struggled with that mightily over the years. But, you know, if the price is right, we'll see nothing big there. Jets signed Jacoby Ford, going to be on the other side of Eric Decker. Does that mean anything to you?
No, I mean, he's not even guaranteed to make the team. Look, Jacoby Ford's, you know, nothing to get excited about, that's for sure. Probably the same situation we're talking about, Bay in Pittsburgh. Maybe just a little bit of depth added to the wide receiver core.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Rick, are you our buddy Scott Fish over at FF Oasis, who I was remiss in mentioning, Rick, that we are part of the FF Oasis.
Yes, indeed.
FFOasis.com. Minnesota wanting to host the 2018 Super Bowl. If I'm not mistaken, they're building an outdoor stadium, aren't they? Are you chomping at the bit to get to that 2018 Super Bowl?
I am chomping at the bit to get into my leather easy chair with refreshments, and I'll watch it from there.
Yeah, you're not going to make the trip. Maybe you can stay with Scott.
Yeah, then that'd be a good...
And then just go down to the game.
Then I'll just sit in his easy chair goes to the game.
Like, he's not going to let me in his house, but probably you. We can trust you in somebody's house. You don't want to let me in anybody's house.
Well, why not? You're here.
Well, yeah, but you keep a pretty close eye on me, and that dog follows me everywhere I go, and I mean everywhere. So, I don't know. That's about it for football heads. I mean, it's just a slow week, Rick. There's just nothing going on.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it just can't keep up the pace that it does when initially free agency starts, obviously. And now they're starting to get, you know, gear towards the draft. And, you know, Mike Zimmer, you know, he says there's some red flags with Johnny Football.
I'm so tired of hearing about him.
I am too.
I hope his career is a miserable failure. I hope he comes.
I wish nothing bad on anybody.
Or he becomes the best quarterback since Peyton Manning. Anyhow, just so all the draft nicks, half of them are wrong. Anyhow, I'm so tired of hearing of Johnny Manziel. I really am.
I know, me too.
Well, you know me. I don't care about the draft anymore.
And you see, Doug Martin is now cleared to practice.
Well, that's good.
Finally,
it's April now, so. Yeah. Get the warm and fuzzies there about Doug Martin. Where do you think he goes in fantasy drafts by the time August rolls around? If you had to guess. You're going to see how he looks in camp, obviously, and in some preseason games. But if you had to guess right now, where do you think he lands? Actually, that's not a fair question.
No.
Does he outperform expectations this year? Is Doug Martin a number one fantasy running back by the end of the season?
I'm going to say no. And I'll preface it with, I'm not sure, you know, I know that they're going to be, using him basically as the main running back. But I'm not sure that Rainey and James will both be totally out of the picture to warrant him being an RB1.
Really? You think if Martin's rolling,
I think
Rainey still gets a piece?
Oh, yeah. I think Lovie is going to use a rotation there. They're all three young guys, and they all showed some flash of success. Look, I mean, Tampa's far from being an offensive juggernaut.
Well,
they're still kind of They're still kind of going through the pains of trying to find the quarterback. They signed McCown. What, he's 35,
yeah.
36. They got Glennon, who played pretty well last year. A lot of people are dismissing him as being the starter. I'm not sure he's not going to be the starter, quite frankly.
He was all right. He kept it together.
I know.
He held it together in what was an untenable situation down there. He held it together. I'll give him that.
And
not exactly high praise, but...
No. And, I mean, you look at Matt Forte when Lovie was there. Not used nearly as effectively as he is under the Trestman regime.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. He took a little bit of a step back there, especially those last couple years. Just interesting. He's going to be one of those guys. He's going to be a real wild card going into August. This is a guy you're going to see go, I think, in the low second, early third rounds, and there's going to be some drafts you're going to be sitting there in the fifth and sixth and thinking, wow, Doug Martin's still sitting here.
I think there's going to be, and of course, it's way too early to tell. Once we get into August, you'll start having a better feel where how much he's being used and so forth and his overall health. But I think you're going to find a lot of guys are going to be drafting him maybe too high, you know, and then maybe other guys waiting a little too long for him.
And you don't know where it's going to be fair. He's going to be one of them guys, him, Ray Rice. There's some guys out there. We ought to do a show on that. Guys that complete wild cards going into the year, and we'll try to predict that.
I think that's a great
idea.
That's
a brilliant idea right there, actually. Right. So, Rick, you're a world traveler, aren't you?
What's that?
You're a bit of a world traveler, a man of the world.
That was the sign of a brilliant idea.
It was. It just came through. I'm good.
A world traveler? No.
No. All right.
I'm not a world traveler.
Neither am I.
I wish I was.
Neither am I. I hate leaving. Well, I love leaving the house, my house.
I've been just about everywhere in this country.
Yeah, you were a bit of a gypsy there for a while. Are you allowed to say gypsy still? Somebody told me once that was no good. I'm going with it. But people are stupid, Rick. And what people's idea of a vacation is very stupid. So what would you pay for this resort? This is a resort in Sweden.
Okay.
Sweden seems like a nice place.
Oh, I'd love
to
go to Sweden, yeah.
So here's a Swedish cottage. Actually, I'll tell you what you'll pay, Rick. For the low price of $71 a night, by hotel rates, that's pretty cheap, especially at a resort. Here's what you have to do, Rick. You will stay in a rudimentary cabin with no heat, and you're expected to collect your own water, cook your own food, and build your own fire every day. On your own for the low price of $71.
Well, I imagine in Sweden you probably don't have to coax them to build their own fire if they want to stay alive.
It's going to be butt cold out there.
Right.
Here's what it is: these dinkuses are traveling around the world. It looks like
it looks like a outhouse covered with bushes.
Oh yeah, and there's no showers. You can go take a dip in the lake, and there's an outhouse, or you're encouraged just to use the trees. And people are considering this a vacation. They are paying for the right to crap in the woods.
Huh.
I've got woods.
You know, I think
I've got some property.
I think they've been I think it's a trend of they've watched so much of Survivor Man versus Wild, Naked and Afraid, and all those kind of shows that they probably are capitalizing on the survivalist sort of mentality.
I guess, but then go survive. Why the hell are you paying for it?
Yeah, I mean, you're
here's $71. Now let me go cut your firewood for you. What the hell's wrong with these people?
I don't know.
You know what it is? It's yuppies. Yeah, I hate yuppies. And this is they're roughing it till they find out. You know, the first time you got nature calls at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's 18 degrees outside. Now all of a sudden it ain't so cute.
Oh, so you're going there in summertime? It's 18 degrees.
Well, probably. I'm guessing. I've never been to Sweden.
I haven't either.
Is it always cold in Sweden?
Beautiful places. I don't know.
They had that bikini team. Were they running around in the cold all the time? Whatever happened to them?
Oh, you mean the curling?
No. The Swedish bikini team. Weren't they in Budweiser commercials? Remember they were all the rage, like in the '90s. You don't remember the Swedish bikini?
No, really, no.
They're like in every commercial.
But anyway,
they all look the
Scandinavia is gorgeous. However, I'm like you. I don't want to pay $71 to live in an outhouse covered with bushes.
Right, yeah, and that's all it is. It looks like when one of those giant trees blows over and that hole it leaves in the ground, they just threw a cover up over it, threw some brush over top of it, and then charged some idiot $71 a night. And people can't get in there fast enough. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I don't.
You know, it's kind of like the ice hotels.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like to be cold.
I don't mind being cold. Like if I'm going out hunting or if I'm going out doing this, that, and the other. You know, I dress properly for it.
Right.
And you know, it's chilly and so forth. And
but when I go inside, it better be warm.
Well, that's the thing. At the end of the day, I want to go in where it's warm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe I'll sit in front of a fire, but I want to have a furnace going in case the wood burns down.
Right. And you and I specifically, have evolved far less than most people we know.
Yeah, most
humans.
Yet
we have evolved enough to know, hey, so here's how I'm looking at it. When I plan a vacation, say I go to the beach. I go to the beach once a year. When I'm sitting around and thinking about planning a vacation, I'm thinking, I'm going to do something I can't usually do. I'm going to go to a place where it's warmer, where there's this ocean and this sand and all this beach-like stuff. That's the decision I make. Where my mind doesn't go is when I'm sitting in my house, say it's 20 degrees outside, and I'm in my house and I'm all warm, and there's all this electricity and television and food, and I'm going to think, you know what, for a change, I'm going to go sleep in the damn woods and freeze my butt off for 3 days. That sounds like fun. Let's do that. Who the hell does that? This world isn't for me, Rick.
Well,
I'm over it.
Okay, I mean, I could say, okay, we're going camping, but you know, expanding on your point, you know, where it's warm and everything.
No, I'm not going camping either.
No, but the point is, you can go out and go camping, but, you know, these people, hey, let's go live in a cave and pay for it.
Right, yeah, quit paying for it. There's caves everywhere.
Yeah, you can find a rock out of the woods somewhere.
I've been fortunate, you know, from my family, I have inherited, what do I have, Rick, about just a little less than 90 acres. Of ground. You are welcome to. I'll tell you, for the discount rate of $40, you call me up. You can flop your ass on the ground anywhere you want out there.
That sounds
you
like
you build yourself a fire, cut all the wood you want. $40 and it's yours. You had the run of the whole place.
And we'll go out in the woods at night. We can holler like yetis and all this kind of stuff.
Take them snipe hunting. Yeah, that's what you do with the city folk.
Hey, speaking of you know, being out and everything, Salt Lake City, a 14-year-old boy digging a trout pond in the backyard of his father's Salt Lake City home, stumbled across a surprise, the remains of an American Indian who lived over 1,000 years ago.
Wow.
The experts from the Utah Department of...
Back it up. Digging a trout pond. What's that mean? He's just digging a pond? He's hand-making a pond?
Yeah,
he's going to throw trout in there?
Dutchess little fellow, isn't he?
Yeah, apparently. And then he finds an Indian.
Yeah. But the Department of Heritage and Art spent Friday removing the remains, which were confirmed by medical examiners as those of a person from a millennium ago, and investigating the site for archaeological clues after ninth grader Ali Ertuk's discovery earlier in the week. Humans have occupied this valley for up to 10,000 years, department spokesman Jeffrey Fatta told the Salt Lake City Tribune. And this is the interesting part. These forensic anthropologists, they're going to analyze the remains and try to figure out what this guy ate, what killed him, and so forth. You know, that's kind of interesting to me.
I bet you he never paid $71 to sleep on the ground.
I bet not, you know. But, you know, the kid told the TV station, he goes, he thought it, when he first dug up the first bone, he just thought it was an animal bone, didn't pay any attention to it. And he says, when I saw and it looked like a skull, then it definitely was a bit creepy. Yeah, I can imagine that.
A little bit, yeah.
But, you know, that's just kind of that's
probably
interesting.
It doesn't happen more often when you think about it.
Right.
There's a lot of people on the planet back then, and a lot of this area was Native American ground at one time or the other, especially where we're at. Didn't that happen a lot around here?
Oh, yeah, lots of Indians around.
You never hear about it happening. So I'm still hung up on this trout pond. I'm still hung up on these people paying to sleep outside.
You know, camping. There is a lot of
camping pisses me off in general.
Why?
I worked 60 hours a week specifically for one reason. Listen, for one reason specifically, so I don't have to sleep outside, so I can afford a house to sleep in. So I finally earned all that, and my idea of a break is going to be to sleep on the damn ground. I don't understand it. Why do people do this?
You walk around, puff your chest out, smoking them stupid cigars that you got, and then act like you're working.
I am. I'm killing myself. I've got the 9-to-5 that's basically a 9-to-9, and then I'm carrying you on my back for this show constantly.
Hey, you know, I heard an interview with Sammy Watkins.
Who? Don't roll your eyes at me. People can't see that on the radio. That name sounds familiar. Who's Sammy
Watkins? Wide receiver. You're going to be the next great wide receiver, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, just one of these draft things. You know how I feel about the draft.
Tell you what, heard an interview on this kid, and this kid sounds like he has it all together, you know, and I just hope that he doesn't get in a situation where he's burning the Steelers, quite frankly.
Where's all that noise coming from?
I don't know.
What do you mean where he's burning the Steelers?
Well, because Steelers won't draft him.
Oh, why?
Is what I'm saying. I'm sure he's going to be gone before that.
Well, is there more to this story, or that?
No, I just think he just sounds like a great young man, and he's an excellent talent. And somebody's going to have themselves a nice wide receiver.
Well, so this is draft coverage via Rick Briggs.
No, well, watch and learn, Grasshopper.
How much? You say that a lot. I don't know what the hell it means.
That's because you're stupid. You haven't been around.
If you had a ton of money, how much would you pay for your jersey number?
I don't have a jersey.
Play along.
No.
All right.
Whatever. I don't have a jersey. For what?
If you... Never mind.
No,
Decker paid Jeff Cumberland $25,000 in a steak dinner for the number 87 for the Jets.
Yeah, how much millions did he get? What's 25,000 bucks? Nothing.
Yeah, it's still a lot of money for a jersey number. Maybe that attached to your number. I guess I wore the same number through high school. I still wear it on my stupid rec teams now. Well, I don't wear anything now.
That's pathetic.
I blow out a knee every time I do anything. But
yeah.
Sounds like a lot of money. And it seems like overkill on Jeff Cumberland's part to throw the steak dinner on top of it. A man just hands you $25,000. You can't buy your own steak dinner.
Yeah, I know. That is pretty bad. But did you hear about a San Francisco area hotel and social club had to be evacuated?
Okay. Earthquake, I assume.
No.
Oh.
I'm
scared of earthquakes.
Tell me about it.
I've never been in one.
I have.
It seems weird. Didn't we have one around here a couple years ago? I didn't feel it because
I worked
underground.
Yeah, I felt that one, but I was in one out in California. No fun. No fun at all.
Imagine. What do you do? I mean, the ground is shaking. Not a damn thing you can do about it.
I rolled on the floor a little bit.
Voluntarily? Or
no.
Was that like your reaction?
No, I got hit in the head with a picture, too. It came off the wall, hit me in the head. And then I saw a coffee table running across the floor, and it was weird.
Were you in a hotel or something?
Well, actually, we were in, this is back in 88, and my sister had leukemia and was being treated at Stanford University.
Oh, okay.
Her husband and I was donating the bone marrow, and they put us up in an apartment building across the way, you know, and we stayed there. And we just came back from the hospital seeing her, and it was sitting down for the evening. We just sat down. We had a couple beers, and we made dinner, me and him, or my brother-in-law, and we sat down at the table. I bet we hadn't taken a bite or two. And I just looked down, and like my plate goes, whoosh, off one side, and the next thing I know, I'm on the floor, and he's laying out in the kitchen somewhere.
That's terrifying.
It is.
Absolutely terrifying.
It was extremely terrifying.
There is nothing you can do about it. The ground is shaking. There's no preparation.
There's nowhere to go.
You can't see it coming. You don't know what...
I know.
That is terrifying.
It was bad. That was probably the creepiest feeling I ever had in my life.
I have to imagine. I hope to never experience it.
I tell you, it was. And like I said, a picture came off the wall, hit me in the head, and then I saw a coffee table running across there. I was like, wow, this is twilight. I was waiting for Rod Serling to walk out with a cigarette in his hand.
Who?
Yeah, they just, oh, don't, Quit, get off the ignorant stuff. What, nobody doesn't
what?
Know who Rod Serling from the Twilight Zone is.
Rod
I mean, unless
Serling.
You was
I know
just
what the
some,
Twilight
a
Zone
total
is.
No IQ Neanderthal was the only person on the face
wait,
of this planet.
Wait, when
was
the Twilight Zone on?
It makes no difference. My daughter's 21, loves Rod Serling.
Well, because you're old and watch all that black and white crap all the time.
She has them on
choice.
Tape.
Oh,
no.
Come on. She has them on tape. So who is this guy?
Look it up.
I'll do no such thing.
Well, then
the moment we go off the air, I'll forget. You know what? You talk about something. I'm gonna look. What is it? Rob Sterling?
Rod.
Rod.
Serling.
Serling.
Yeah, it's not Sterling. It's Silver, you dope. Anyway, a historic San Francisco Bay Area hotel was evacuated after a resident used a toxic chemical to commit suicide in her room.
Really?
Police spokesman Ethel Wilson says the 80-year-old woman used sodium azide to kill herself Tuesday in her apartment on the third floor of the landmark Berkeley City Club. The Oakland Tribune reports that the woman left a note warning authorities of the dangerous situation and hazardous materials crews and bomb squad technicians responded to just before 2 p.m. Now, that's tragic enough as it is, but this really got me. You know what sodium azide is?
No clue.
It's commonly found in cars' airbags to make them inflate.
Okay.
That seems reasonable, okay. But when mixed with water, it becomes a toxic gas. Now,
really?
What if you're in a wreck and something punctures this thing and it's raining?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Now, does it blow up, or is it just like a nauseous gas?
This gas mixes with water, turns into a deadly chemical.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a good plan.
No.
You think there'd be a better way to go about it?
Yeah. I mean, why?
Now,
could...
how did this broad know? Where'd she get it? Did she, like, take the airbag out of her car?
That I don't know.
Do you ever watch that? That makes me laugh. Do you ever watch, like, those clip shows on TV and stuff? Like, they show the funny videos from the internet. Do you ever see Ridiculouses on MTV?
No, I don't watch Ridiculouses.
But they have this thing, they will. They'll pull the airbags out of cars, or maybe you can just buy an airbag, I don't know. And then they'll do it as a prank, like, I'd put it under your chair, and at some point I'd hit the button, and I'd blow you right through the floor here, which is a lot of fun to me. They call it popcorning. If you ever get a chance, check that out. You're going to want to see that.
Oh, okay.
All right, back to this Rod Serling guy. This guy died in 1975. Why the hell would I know who he is?
Why wouldn't you?
There is a one-color picture of him.
Why wouldn't you?
Why would I? What did he do?
You know who Beethoven is, for God's sakes?
That dog from the movie.
Oh, see, yeah, nobody is as dumb as you act, and it's irritating.
Seriously, this guy was born in 1924. How would I know how he is, or who he is, or what he did?
Yeah, because, well, probably...
He's on the radio, I see that. He's
probably
on TV.
You wouldn't, because you are pretty stupid.
Gaining fame, okay. I'm on Wikipedia, that's where I get all my... Yeah, he was on the Twilight Zone. What'd he do? 1969, for God's sake.
That was Night Gallery then.
What?
Night Gallery, that was an awesome show.
It says Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone was in the late 50s to the early 60s.
Oh, never mind. That says 1959.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
Okay.
Yeah, Night Gallery in 1969.
Okay, well.
I still don't know who he is, though.
1955. Let's see.
Submitted for your approval. Was that
1955, two Emmys. 1956, an Emmy, a Peabody Award, a Writers Guild of America Award. 57, Christopher Award. Let's see, 59, an Emmy, 60, two Emmys, 60, a Hugo Award, 61, an Emmy and a Hugo Award, 62, Golden Globe Award and a Hugo Award, 63, an Emmy, 64, Writers Guild of America Award, 65, Golden Globe, 70, Edgar Allan Poe Award. I'm sure you don't know who Edgar Allan Poe is either.
That's the Raven guy.
Well, he died in 1970, so how would I know who he is?
Well, I've heard it.
71, a Christopher
they
Award.
They made us read that crap in high school.
I mean...
So is this that submitted for your approval guy? Is that who he was?
No, he goes, you're entering the Twilight Zone.
What was the submitted for your approval? Was that on the Twilight Zone?
No.
I swear somebody said that on something.
I have no idea. And we call this a bonus hour.
This is a true bonus. I'm learning something here. It's a bonus for me today.
High time you learn something.
Learning about old dead people I don't care about.
Yet you know Edgar Allan Poe.
Well, Well, I had to. You had to read that crap in high school, and they always talk about him on Ravens games when they play on Monday night around Halloween every year.
He was bizarre. He really was.
I never met him.
He was really bizarre. Oh, I did.
No, you did. I believe you probably did. Nomad that you were.
Exactly. You know, I was in Baltimore.
Where weren't you? Where weren't you? Were you Charlie Daniels roadie for a while?
I've never been to New Mexico.
Okay.
Never really out west. I flew over the west, but never been in the west.
I've been to Vegas. Does that count?
Yeah.
I like Vegas.
I've never been there.
Vegas is a good place. Just went to Cleveland not too long ago. I don't recommend it.
I don't mind Cleveland.
I don't care
for
it.
I like Cleveland.
It scares me.
Why?
I don't know. It's just scary.
Four Browns fans.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. I like Cleveland, though. I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is kind of a cool place.
Canton. I went to Canton. I love Canton over there, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's a trip. I like that place. Where else do you like? I've been everywhere from New Hampshire to Florida in the east.
I've never been any further north than Buffalo. Well, Niagara Falls, I guess.
Yeah, same difference. So, okay.
Same thing. That's as far north as I've ever... No, you know, that's not true. I just went to Boston a couple years ago to check out Fenway.
Oh, okay.
Fenway Park, awesome. Boston, terrible.
Really?
It's all crowded.
Well, all cities are crowded. Well, that's a big city.
Yeah, and everything's all old and colonial, and people think that's charming. I think it just looks old. You know how I feel about old things, you specifically.
I didn't care for that. Attitudes like that are just ignorant. So, I mean, I just take that with a grain of salt.
What? Because I don't like old things?
Well, yeah, because you know why? Because you talk and act like a yuppie, then turn around and say, I hate them.
How do I talk and act
like a yuppie? I don't like nothing old. I'm trendy, blah, 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 blah. Pretty soon you'll be saying, save the whales.
Nah, I don't care for the whale or the environment.
Anyway,
I am very anti-environment.
New Hampshire. I love New Hampshire. I was up in northern New Hampshire back, I think it was 98. I was actually offered a job up there. I wish you'd have taken it. Huh?
I wish you'd have taken it.
Well, sometimes I do, too.
I mean, we'd have never met.
Well, that's a good point.
I'd be doing this show with somebody competent right now. That'd be a refreshing change.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be freaking Howard Stern right now if I didn't have to carry you on my back all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you would. I'll tell you. Howard somebody. The Duck, maybe.
I forgot about Howard the Duck. That was a good movie right there.
Yeah, that was a classic.
What was the one with the Bigfoot? Remember that movie? Harry and the Hendersons. Remember that? They made a ill-fated sitcom off of it, too. That was
And you make fun of the Twilight Zone.
What? That was good stuff. I didn't make fun of the Twilight Zone. I just didn't know who Rob Sterling is. Big deal.
You ever watch the Twilight Zone?
Probably not. I don't think I did.
Okay, so your memory is that bad that you can't remember anything
you've
ever done.
It was on in 1959.
Oh, my God.
I was born in 77, for God's sake.
God, you are so stupid.
How am I stupid? By not watching this terrible TV show from the 50s, it makes me stupid?
No, you claim that you couldn't have seen it because it was on before you were born. I mean, my God, how ignorant can you be? They show repeat. Hey, there's a thing called MeTV. There's a thing called film. They actually show movies. You know, they used to show them. They actually show them in theaters still.
What theater? I'm not going there.
Any theater. They show movies.
Oh, I understand that, yes.
Well,
I understand the concept of a movie.
Well, see, that's the thing.
But
right?
Why am I going to go back and watch something from 60 years ago?
Because it's great.
I'm not sure. How would I know?
And you're talking about Harry the Henderson.
That was a good movie.
All I have to do is consider the source, and I automatically win by default such a buffoon.
If I remember right, they were camping, ironically, to bring it full circle, and they found a Bigfoot, and they took it home with them. And just like none of the neighbors noticed for years. It was just
kind of like that mummy lady.
Yeah. We need to get an update. We never got a hold of her. I tried to get a hold of the sister or whatever. No one would return my call.
Well, imagine that.
But apparently, I did read in the follow-up that apparently, here's the scary part of online banking and online bill pay. Apparently, she had it set up to where all her bills were paid automatically.
Yeah, right.
And then also she had it set up with her bank that if her checking account got low, they just pulled it across into her savings account. So she was dead for years, and she apparently had enough money saved up. They just kept paying her bills. And then apparently, remember I asked who was mowing the grass?
Right.
Apparently it was just some neighbor guy who felt bad for her and showed up once a week, mowed the grass. Nobody thought it odd they never ran into her. And so she was just able to be there hanging out dead for 2 years. Till her money ran out before anybody thought to look for her.
But the thing is, Rick, I mean, you could say, okay, she was in Detroit.
Yeah.
And we all know it gets cold in Michigan. But it gets hot in the summertime. I just can't imagine a corpse sitting in a hot garage all summer long and somebody didn't smell this.
Yeah, I don't know how it didn't get the stink. Well, she somehow preserved, which I don't think they ever answered that question.
I don't
know. They said she was basically mummified. How did that happen?
I don't know, man. She must have somehow got freeze-dried or something when she died. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it was like a flash freeze or something. I don't know.
Then I don't know.
It's a fascinating story. I'd love to get someone in the family on, but they won't return my call. You give them a chance to be on a radio show like this, you think they'd jump at the opportunity, but they're not.
Well, they probably found out that you didn't know who Rod Serling was.
I don't think I'm the only cat in town that's never heard of Rod Serling. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Are you sure he never said submitted for your approval? I swear, that was something.
Maybe he did. He may have said that.
Because then didn't, and it would say the Twilight Zone, then it'd start spinning or something, right? Was that the Twilight Zone? Am I thinking of the same thing?
Yeah, they used to have the little stuff, you know, the clock and the E equals MC squared
and
the
Twilight
eyeball.
Zone words would spin or something. So
yeah, they used to have that little spinny thing, yeah.
Yeah, the spinny thing, and I'm the idiot. The spinny thing, really?
Well, at least I know what it was. It was a little spiral spinny thing.
The spiral spinny thing, yeah. No question about it. Well, I think we'll know what the picture will be. Let me write down Twilight Zone. Didn't they make new ones?
What do you think about?
Of
course, this is just far fetched, and you know, I think the media's making a hype about it. You know, but you know, basically, Buffalo wants Donald Trump to buy the Bills.
Be interesting, I would think. Be a clash run organization, sort of like the Mavericks with Mark Cuban.
I think it
would.
Maybe
the owners' meeting's fun.
I think he would be a good owner, quite frankly.
You know he's going to take it seriously. You know he's going to try to win. I think it'd be a boom for Buffalo. You know, the first thing they do is build. You ever been to that stadium in Buffalo?
I have not.
It's charming, but it reminds me a lot of a college stadium, which is a good thing in a way. The sight lines are really good. It's out in the suburbs. It's easy to get to. It's actually a really enjoyable experience up there. But it's kind of low rent at the same time. You know what I mean? They can't be making a ton of money off of it. It looks a lot like a mid-range Division I college stadium is what it reminds me of. Bleachers everywhere you look. It's just old look. Like, it's charming in its way, and it's a good place to watch a football game. But in today's NFL, there's no wonder they can't compete.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I actually was on a brief Twitter conversation with somebody talking about he mentioned something about rebuilding the stadium or remodeling, you know, as opposed to building a new one, remodeling an existing one. And you hear so much about it. Every city needs a new stadium, this, that, and the other. I find it interesting that cities and teams, organizations, architects, whoever you hold responsible for that, why they don't take a lesson from Arrowhead. Now, this is an old stadium, and it is still first class. And it was actually designed to change with the times. And it's still just a great place to be. And I don't understand why every stadium always seems to be obsolete after 15, 20 years.
That's the disturbing
part. Arrowhead
was
built, what, 40-some years ago?
Probably.
And it's still a great stadium.
They've made upgrades and a wild stadium. You know, they managed to do that without sort of falsely manufacturing it sort of the way they did in Seattle. Not to make any of our Seattle listeners upset, but they built that stadium deliberately for that noise to be held in there. You know what I mean? Acoustically,
yeah,
they did it.
That's
fine. But they don't need it in Arrowhead. They're just loud as it is.
It's fine that they build it that way for the noise. But the point being, as old as Arrowhead is, they have done a few things here and there, and it's easily adapts to the changing times.
Right.
And somebody
knew
what they were doing.
I think a lot of that has, you look at it, I don't know exactly, but it looks to me Like, it's out in the suburbs a little bit. So you have some room to do things like that.
True.
These ones they're building right in the city, it's just squeezed into, they're squeezed into the cityscape. It doesn't give you a lot of room to go up, down, in, out, whatever you need to do to make those adjustments at a place like Arrowhead did. Probably something you could do at Ralph Wilson Stadium. I don't know. It's pretty antiquated. It really is more like a college stadium. Not a college atmosphere. I don't want to say that, but a college stadium. Not sure if it's possible. It is a disturbing trend, though. You know, after 15, 20 years, these teams crying for a new stadium, and they expect the taxpayers to foot the bill for it every 20 years. You know, you looked at, you know, I'm glad as a Steeler fan, and more specifically as a Pirate fan. I'm not a big fan of Heinz Field, but if you go to PNC Park, to be rid of those cookie-cutter stadiums like Three Rivers, like Veterans Stadium, what was the one in Cincinnati? What'd they call it?
Riverfront.
You know, I'm not sad to see those stadiums go and to see more ballparks. This is more a baseball conversation for me. But, yeah, how long is it? Are we 20 years away from PNC Park being obsolete and whatever the next highfalutin thing is you need in baseball to keep up with the Joneses? It's a shame. I like Wrigley Field.
How much do stadiums cost nowadays?
Hundreds and hundreds of millions
of
dollars.
I'm just wondering what, you know, the typical one would be is what I'm trying to figure out. The initial cost...
$300-400 million probably?
The initial cost of Arrowhead was $43 million in 72, which, according to this, you know, translates to $242 million in 2014 dollars. It is the 27th largest stadium in North America, yet it's the fifth largest stadium in seating capacity.
Wow. That's
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's something I noticed about, like, look at Heinz Field. Yeah, the thing is massive.
It only
holds 70-some-odd thousand people. It doesn't hold that many people. For a football team with a 30-year season ticket waiting list, and they can't get anybody in or out because there's just not enough seating capacity. Why aren't these NFL stadiums building 100,000-seat stadiums? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, hard to say. I mean, maybe it's room constraints,
possibly.
Coding. I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess you're afraid if you start to stink and you can't sell it out, and then you got blackout restrictions to worry about, sort of deliberately holding it down. Just something I find interesting, but to swing it all the way back, I don't know how we got clear off of this. I think Donald Trump, it'd be interesting. Boy, wouldn't the owners' meetings be interesting? I'd like to see the first fight between him and Jerry Jones. I'd pay to watch that.
Oh, that would be classic. That would be a great match right there. Hey, who's your money on?
give me Donald Trump. Jerry Jones.
They just fire him. You're fired.
Yeah, yeah. That was a stupid show. I hated that show.
Yeah, what was that called? Oh, The Apprentice.
The Apprentice.
Yeah.
You're fired. Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
Well, you know, Jerry Jones, and you know, we're gonna everything's okay.
Oh, yeah.
With Jerry. Everything's all right.
Hey, if you got enough money, why wouldn't it be?
Well, yeah, everything's okay with Jerry, but I mean, you know, the fans are a little disappointed with 8-8 every year.
Yeah, but they keep showing up, so.
Yeah, they do.
What do you do about that?
But anyway, you know, I just think it would be interesting if he's going to be owner of the Bills. I think that would be – I don't think he'd be afraid to make some moves and try to make them a contender.
No, I think right away you'd see it. He'd do everything in his power, no doubt about it. And a guy who for a long time I think has wanted to be – in pro football and the battles he used to have, the antitrust stuff, and he was a big part of the USFL, if I'm not mistaken, right, and starting that up and owned the, what was the New York, New Jersey team? Was it the Generals? Do I have that right?
Right, yeah.
That Herschel Walker played for and made a run at pro football in many different incarnations. And you wonder, though, the old stodgy owners in the league, if he'd ever get approval, if he'd ever get league approval to own a team, say if the Wilson family was willing to sell it to him, which I have my doubts, would the NFL, as it's constructed, accept a guy like Donald Trump?
Yeah, well, I think so. Jerry Jones has certainly made a lot of headlines, along with L. Davis before him and so forth, you know, people like that, these Cavaliers, they make headlines, but they seem to fit in there. I mean, Daniel Snyder certainly has quieted down somewhat he made a big splash when he came in, but he's still owner.
Yeah, all those years of losing will tend to...
Yeah. Okay, you know, before we move any farther, you've been paying a whole lot of attention to the Final Four. I mean, is this your trigger here?
No, this is probably the most dull Final Four I can remember. Neither one of the games am I excited about. Have I been paying attention? Yes. I don't know if I should be proud to admit this or ashamed to admit it, but with NCAA.com showing every game live, and of course all the games on all the different networks, I have watched at least a portion of every single tournament game, and that is every single tournament game, Rick. That's how into this I am, and right. I'm a basketball guy. Couldn't be more disappointed. I love those Michigan teams. I was pulling for Michigan hard. I love that Louisville team. I hated seeing them go down. Wichita was interesting. Kentucky winning that region was a disaster for me. It really was. I hate Calipari. I hate these freshman-laden teams. Wisconsin's just boring. You know, it was kind of a neat story, Bo Ryan finally getting there. He'd been close so many times. Some interesting characters on this Wisconsin. I allowed myself to be excited for a hot second until I remember now I got to watch at least one more Wisconsin game. Shabazz Napier, interesting for UConn, but that UConn team doesn't do it for me. Kevin Ollie, an interesting coach. I like what he's doing. I think UConn's setting up good in the long run.
Sometimes I'm in, I don't know. Yeah, I got it. We have a 7 and an 8 in there. To me, that makes a little more interesting instead of Florida, Arizona, you know, whatever, Wisconsin, Michigan, something like that, the ones and the twos. It gives it a little bit of a flavor. I'm like you. I'd have much rather seen Dayton go in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And or something like that. But Kentucky, I tell you what, Kentucky's a dangerous team. I said that before the last week's game. I didn't want Louisville playing them.
No,
and
that's a tough matchup.
It's a terrible matchup. But
that's the team that could just go away. They could go out, and they're going to get hammered by somebody, be it Wisconsin or Florida.
Only a couple teams left.
You're right, but it's been the Kentucky way. They get these freshmen. When they get rolling, they're about unbeatable. These are four of the five best recruits in the country they have there every single year. But at some point, these guys, at points in the season and at points in the tournament, they remember their freshmen, and it sort of goes back there. Now, I admit maybe my disgust with this Final Four is, you know, sort of like a kid. I have my favorites and teams I root for.
Yeah,
you know,
obviously, Mercer outed your champion
the
bat.
Yeah, I didn't care for that, but I never hate to see Duke lose either. I think that's why I continually pick them to be the champion. So I'm sort of hedging my bet. That way, if they win, I get some cash, and if they lose, hey, I lost the bet, but Duke's gone in the first round.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's a good thing. But I'm a pick guy first. I've made no bones about that.
But you know they're never going to do anything.
And then I really like that Arizona team only because of their Pitt ties. Sean Miller being the head coach. T.J. McConnell, who their point guard who played a couple years at Duquesne, and I'm very familiar with Duquesne and that program. And then T.J. McConnell's aunt, I believe it is, Susie McConnell Serio, the Pitt women's coach and sort of a legend around these parts, if you can be a legend in women's basketball. So a lot of Pitt ties there, so I like that Arizona team. Even going back to Coach Crum years ago, that was just always an interesting team. And then Michigan reminds me of my heyday in the 90s, the Fab Five. I loved that team. So those two teams had a chance to go on, both get eliminated just short of the Final Four. That may lead to my disgust with it. As a Pitt fan, I have no love for UConn whatsoever. Florida, you know, a lot of criminals, you know, that are on a good run with Billy Donovan basically running a juvenile hall there. And so hard to root for that team. It's just, I'll watch it. I'll watch every stinking minute of it. Don't think I won't. But there's going to be no rooting interest for me, you know. But the game's set up interesting. When you're looking at a Kentucky, you don't know what you're going to get. They could go out there, they could hammer Wisconsin. Or they could go out there and remember their freshmen, and they could get hammered. I wouldn't lay a dollar on that game. I don't know which way to go. You look at UConn, Florida. You know, is Shabazz Napier enough to overcome everything they have there in Florida? That kid Young for Florida, have you seen this guy? Have you watched a Florida game?
Yeah, I've watched
a couple. You want to talk about a man.
Yes,
he looks more like a WWE wrestler than
Florida,
a basketball player.
I think Florida's going to handle UConn quite easily. I'm like you. I'm not going to lay a penny on Wisconsin.
You don't know
Kentucky.
What Kentucky team you're going to get.
And if Kentucky wins by 20,
I'm not surprised.
You know, I just go, oh, Wisconsin wins by 20? Huh. It wouldn't surprise me either way.
Yeah.
UConn wins by 10 or 15. I'm going to go, you're kidding me.
That's a surprise. You know. It's the magic of that Napier kid, though. Mm-hmm. He is that good. He really is. Just a very dynamic player. And the funny thing with Kentucky, you know, going back to them, we actually hit an hour. We somehow squeezed this whole one out.
Wow.
But we haven't even mentioned
Tiger Woods being out of the Masters.
Yeah, that's a shame. You wonder what that'll do for interest in that.
A lot. Not a lot, I don't think, this time.
We'll stick with Kentucky real quick. Not only are they Jekyll and Hyde game to game with these freshmen, they are Jekyll and Hyde within a game. You saw it in that Kentucky game and in the Michigan game.
Yeah, the Michigan game they really stands out.
They disappear for long stretches, and then all of a sudden something clicks, and they'll go on an 18-2 run in less than 4 minutes. It's just such a tough team to predict, so tough to call what they've done. An impressive run for them. I give them credit, but the wheels could come off at any moment. I just don't know what it is.
But the thing is, like you said, they are Jekyll and Hyde in the game, and the problem with a team like them, they're not a team like them, the problem with Kentucky, when they do get it going and get in that role, it's almost like an avalanche.
Right,
you can't stop. And sometimes the team, I saw it in the Michigan game, it was just like Michigan, it was just like they're getting steamrolled and they couldn't control it.
Nothing they could do. So much size, so much athleticism, and that's where they got killed around the rim. That kid, I'm blanking on his name for Kentucky, who had four or five straight putbacks on the offensive boards. It's what they do. You can't defend that. It's a matter of if they're getting into their sets, getting into the half court and running their offense, if they can do it, if they can manage to hold all that together. So back to your original question, I will watch it. I will watch every stinking second of it Saturday and Monday night. I'll be up half that. Why they start that game at like 9:15 on Monday, I'll never understand, but that's what they do. I'll watch every minute of it, but really, really doesn't excite me. It just... none of those four teams does anything for me. Kentucky's probably the most interesting team. I think Shabazz Napier, the most interesting player. You hate to watch a game for one player, but that's what it is. Who's that kid, that white kid on Wisconsin who just went off? I'm blanking on his name.
And that's the thing with...
he looked unstoppable, although I think, you know, you're going to run into some bigger, faster, stronger, more athletic guys on that Kentucky team that I think can neutralize him. But any guy near and 7 feet who can step up and hit 40% from three-point range, that's a guy's pretty hard to defend.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I'll watch it, and I'm just like you. But
you won't watch on Monday. That's way past.
No, not certainly not that late
game.
I'll
have to tell you about it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So real quick, Rick, before we get out of here, we're already over our allotted hour. You mentioned Tiger Woods not playing in the Masters. I'm asking myself this question, really, and I don't know. Does it affect interest, I guess, in the Masters? It may for me a little bit.
Oh, it makes no difference to me.
Well, I know to you personally, but in general.
In general, it may some, but I'm not sure a whole lot, because it's not like the Masters is the first or second, you know, tournament of the year. Everybody was almost expecting this. They saw him wincing 2 or 3 weeks ago, just bending over trying to pick up a ball, and then he withdrew, skipped the Palmer, you know, of all tournaments.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
one
so,
that's very important to him, I think.
Exactly. So, you know, and now Phil Mickelson, torn oblique, or at least pulled oblique in the shoulder, could be two of the big heavy hitter and crowd draws out of the Masters. I don't know if it takes away the interest, or if it may just set the stage for your guys like your Ricky Fowlers, your Rory McIlroys, some of these young guys. If we can get a classic duel between two or three of these guys without Tiger, without Phil, I think maybe then the page starts turning a little bit.
Finally.
Exactly.
Now, I think the Masters, that's the one tournament I'm watching just for the course, which sounds sort of weird because you're watching it on television, but the course is such that I will watch that tournament just for the course, for what it is.
Oh, it's for the such a magnificent place.
Have you seen it in person?
Yes.
Have you ever had the chance? Is it as amazing?
As a golf course superintendent, we can just show our card and walk in.
Really?
Yeah. At the time, yeah.
So it's everything it's cracked up to be, everything it's billed to be.
Oh, yeah, for the Masters, you better believe it.
So I will watch it for that. You know, still to me, it's the era I grew up in. It really is. There's nothing gets my interest more in any tournament, but a major specifically, if Tiger Woods is in contention on Sunday. That's when you have my full attention. Are there other guys that do that for me? Not yet, because for the 15 or 20 years I've paid attention to golf, it's been all Tiger Woods. It's been Tiger Woods versus the field. We haven't had these matchups because nobody, Phil would poke his head up every now and again. There was
right.
David Duvall, I believe, briefly was given Tiger a run. But for the most part, it was Tiger versus the field. I've never experienced the Jack versus Arnie, the different, you know, you I'm sure you can name a lot more off the
right.
top of your head. I haven't had that. I'd like to see it. I'd be interested in that. But for now, if it's not Augusta, all the majors I'll watch, but especially if it's not Augusta, until somebody else emerges, I'm going to need Tiger on Sunday to really get my interest.
Well, and I think that's where it comes along. Yeah, first it was, like you said, Jack and Arnie. But then all of a sudden, you know, Arnie was getting a little older. Tom Watson came on the stage. Then the people, the Arnold Palmer, all of a sudden they start seeing, you know, the Watson, Nicklaus, and Johnny Miller was there and so forth. That's what I'm saying. If you can see, two of these, three of these guys going down to the wire, maybe even a playoff, I think that starts, you know, promoting the interest again.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I'd love to see it because it hasn't happened in the 15 years I've been watching golf.
Especially if you get Bowditch, who won last week. Didn't,
that's that big, fat, floppy guy?
Well, no, the guy with the big eyebrows.
The
eyebrows.
Yeah, I went, what was the big fat guy's name with the
you
big
keep
mouth?
Saying the big fat guy. He's not a big fat guy. He's a stocky build guy, and I can't remember.
Sloppy guy, and I like sloppy.
Can't remember.
So give me the eyebrows versus the fat guy. I'll watch that. If those two are coming down on 18, you've got my attention.
There you go.
So, Rick, let's get out of here. It's
yes,
been
indeed.
Over an hour, and I am freaking exhausted.
And I'm sure
frankly,
everyone else is not listening
I
anyway.
I can't wait to get away from you, and we got to do this again in 2 days, so I need to really limit my interactions with you. So.
Yeah.
Whoa, there it is.
There we go.
DJ
old Pedro
Kyle.
Woke up.
So let's get out of here. Thanks for listening to the Bonus Hour. We will be back. Hey, follow Twitter. Watch Twitter. Watch our website. You may see some changes in the lineup. Rick and I still have to decide this. We have some other opportunities coming up that may just need to change our recording schedule. So keep an eye out. There will still be shows Tuesday and Thursday. It'll just be a matter of what show you're getting when and what's live and what's not. So more to come on that when we work it out. Thank you to the guys over at the Fantasy Football Oasis, ffoasis.com, although I'm fairly confident they're rather ashamed to be associated with us now after this Bonus Hour, Rick. But on the off chance they're not, thanks to you guys, assuming we're still a part of them come tomorrow morning. Check us out Tuesday in some incarnation, 7 p.m. at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, at AsylumFootball on Twitter. For God's sake, get us to 2,000. Until next time.
Take care, please.
You didn't even have the energy to say, hey, care. All right, we're out of here. This is a good song here. Do you know this one, Rick?
No. Do you just oppose anything that is something I like rock and roll?
This is DJ Khalid. How could you go wrong?
Is he related to...
T-Pain's about to come up. What do you know about T-Pain?
It pains me. I'm going to take my headphones off.
Oh, quit taking your headphones off during my songs. I hate when you do that. Serving him's a no-no, Rick. I hate when you take the headphones off. It annoys the hell out of me.
I can't hear you. I have my headphones off.
You can hear me. We can hear you. You have been eating those chips for 2.5 hours now. Aren't you full? You realize we have to do a radio show, right? I swear to God, I wish it was a video podcast. 15 minutes before we went on air for the first show, he opened his bag of chips. It is now 9:05, and he's still elbow deep in that bag.
Those
must be the best chips ever. You have not stopped eating them for 2.5 hours. You have those shipped in from Mexico or something?
No, I just get Pedro getting them to me.
Oh. So not only is he working for free, Pedro has to bring you tribute in every day as well.
Yeah.
Poor Pedro.
Hey, I own a studio.
You're missing Snoop Dogg. Put your headphones back.
Trust me, I'm not missing Snoop Dogg.
Snoop. We're going to be talking a lot about Snoop Dogg. Apparently his son is like a 4-star recruit going into college. All the big schools are looking at him.
Well, that's cool.
There'll be a Snoop Dogg component coming to an NFL near you.
Awesome. Wonder what his name is.
Can't remember. Last name would be Brody, because that's Snoop Dogg's real name is Calvin Brody. I don't know the son's first name, but the last name would be Brody. He's some sort of major superstar out there in L.A. or wherever they're from.
Maybe he'll have a nickname.
Probably. What was Beast Snoop Dogg on Scooby-Doo? What was the little one's name? Scrappy. Maybe we'll call him Scrappy.
Scrappy Dog?
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg.
I don't know why I'm thinking Scooby-Doo. Remember it was Scooby-Doo and Scrappy too?
Maybe,
I remember that.
Maybe Snoop Dogg and Snap Pup or something. I don't
know. Snap Pup?
I don't know. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, the music stopped. We better get out of here. See ya.